Oh, so that's so you use Audacity to chop it up too later. Is that the program?
Yeah, you can edit right on Audacity. Yeah, but you can't use multi mics on Audacity. Not on the free version. You have to get GarageBand for that.
Where'd you get this mic? Guitar Center?
Online. It's a Blue Yeti. It's THX certified.
Is that right?
It's been certified.
What does that mean? Actually,
I didn't have the stamp until I got the mic, and you had the option of getting it THX certified, and they send a crew. I think it was like 14 or 15.
To your
residence? 14 or 15 teenagers show up, and they look at your mic and go, "That's certified by THX." It's great. You got to come up to come out, I should say, to see me, so you can go to the Junkyard Cafe.
What's that?
It's a cafe in a strip mall, but inside it looks like a junkyard.
Really?
Yeah.
Why does it make it look like a junkyard?
For funds.
Okay, that's the aesthetic. That's what.
Yeah. Like the other day, we were having like breakfast on a Sunday, and they had a live band and everything. It's cool, and they have magic shows, and then on Sundays they have like a sleight of hand guy who goes around from table to table.
Is it like a sandwich place? You get like a Reuben?
No, they got a great Reuben. Oh, they have everything.
They have a good
every
Reuben.
What is it? Every the 17th of every month. They celebrate St. Paddy's Day.
Wow. You know, we talked about that at your house. You were talking to somebody about it, or somebody was talking about the junkyard. Maybe it was Frank. Now I remember, because it's like, you know, decorated to the nines, right? Like just with junk and...
Yeah, Frank told us about it because they got a tiki room.
Okay.
And he loves the tiki.
Gotcha.
That's Frank Stokes. Are we starting the show?
Well, No, we're not going to start it yet, so don't start. To do the intro...
Yeah.
Is that dealer's choice? Like, you just say
sure,
that this
it's
is...
It's your show, so you can do
so
whatever.
I can do whatever.
I mean, the name of the show is the Toncast, but you can call it whatever you want.
I can call it whatever I want?
Yeah, it will be called the Toncast online in the like.
Oh, right.
On iTunes.
Because I remember the last time we did it, I think I overthought it, but I said it was called Kibitz with Hicks, but then you corrected me and said I thought it was called the Toncast.
Right.
And so I didn't know how to respond because
very,
I wasn't sure if I had spoiled the ruse.
Well, and also that's not good yes ending on my part, at that point the show was very new, and I was trying on some level to protect the brand, but
yes.
I don't do that anymore. So you can call it Kibitz with Hicks.
Well,
that's
I
fine.
Think that was new too. I don't think I'm there anymore.
Where are you? What are you doing right now?
I'm transitioning from work.
Do you do that every time you get back from work?
I like to do it when I get home from work, just to play a few beats, just
sure,
to kind of
sure.
kind of shake the stuff.
Yeah, it reminds me of that.
Loose.
Like, was it Pet Sounds? The outtakes of Pet Sounds?
Yeah,
there's like an outtake
on that box, like where they have the separated vocals and.
Yeah, but I feel like it's Pet Sounds, but it might be something else. But one of the Beach Boys albums, there's like a. You know, they're recording the session, and they're, like, sort of murmuring before they start a... And they kind of half-start a song, and then one of them, I think it's... I don't know which one it is. I think it's not Brian, but it's probably one of the Wilson. I don't know. It was one of them.
Yeah.
Goes, hang on. Give me a second. I got to get my note. And there's a pause, and you hear someone walking, and he goes to the piano, and he hits a note on the piano, and then he sings the note that he played on the piano perfectly right after singing it, and he goes, okay, I'm good. And then they start the song, and it's awesome. It's
delightful, man.
But he's like, I got to get my note. And that reminds me, to transition out of work, you like to play the drums.
I play a little drums.
Does it make you feel childlike? Does it make you feel less professional, or what is it?
Well, there's that. I love playing music, guitar, drums, or whatever, but it's also like going for a jog without having to... When I don't have a half an hour to go for a jog, to play drums for 10, 15 minutes, it's very physical this way, but also just like it's loud and it sort of expends energy and sort of it's just helpful way to go from A to B. And from A to B really is work to home, you know?
I wish that instruments worked that way for me.
Yeah.
I was forced to learn, not forced, but I had to learn to play in a rudimentary way a harmonica for a show. And I dedicated myself to it because I wanted to sell it on some level on the set, even if they replaced the music. So I learned how to play, taps first. I went through all the.
So you'd start with Blues Traveler or Popper.
I didn't try Popper. I didn't even get there. The closest I got to Popper was getting to a harmonica that sounded like a proper harmonica. Because, beginner ones are... They're in the wrong...
Yeah.
They're wrong key. They don't sound good. And then I found one that sounded more like a Popper one. And that made it easier for me to play with it. But as soon as the show no longer required me to know how to play the harmonica, and media was like, fuck off. it wasn't a thing.
Is it that way for all instruments? Do you feel that way about the piano or the guitar?
Every instrument I've picked up.
Really?
I've tried. I've gotten proficient at it on some level. Trombone, guitar. I never tried the drums. Actually, I had a drum pad. And that was one
that's not much fun.
That's why my mom was like, I'm not buying you a drum kit.
No, no.
You can have a drum pad and drumsticks and play. And so I did that for a while, but that didn't... None of it was a thing that I poured myself into. I think that's what it takes, whatever it is. For me, that was more writing prose I would lose myself in. But I can't even do that anymore. I don't know. I don't lose myself in anything unless I'm getting paid to do it.
Good. Okay, well, that kicks off an entire topic.
Okay.
Which is...
What's your name?
I go by Hicks.
Just Hicks?
Steve. Well, it depends.
Not Bill.
No, not Bill. Although I think I've got a Bill Hicks credit on IMDb.
That's awesome.
It is kind of, yeah.
I want to believe that you're actually Bill Hicks and you faked your death and went into hiding. Because you're actually not cynical and angry. That was just your act.
Yeah, no, that would be...
You're not that condemning of humanity.
Yeah, he was pretty intense.
But it was too much just to play that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So now you're
I would have liked to have known the man. Now, his act and stuff was great, and I'm sure he's close to that, but you're never, all the way.
True, but I feel like I didn't want to know the man.
Really? Because you're a super fan, whereas I was not a super fan. I enjoyed his work, but I wasn't, plugged in. But I see your point, because I was a super fan of Chevy Chase, and I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to know that man.
I don't think you ever want to meet that man. Oh my god, opposite. I don't want to take this negativity and make it a positive thing, but I got to work.
Why wouldn't you? That sounds like a good
idea. But I'm a fan of negativity, I'm a fan of criticism, I'm a fan of being honest, and life is not great all the time.
Oh, heavens,
but there's
no
stuff that's great. One of the things I like about you is I got to work on a show with this comedian named Paul F. Tompkins. Do you know that guy?
No, I probably should, but
you would. You were a Tenacious D fan, right?
Yeah.
So, do you remember in the show, the guy who introduced their act at the open mic night?
He'd always do the spray shorts or whatever.
That's Paul F. Tompkins.
Okay, very good.
So,
I cream your jeans. Yeah.
He
always had to.
It was like he had to read this bullshit.
and he didn't want to do it.
This is so stupid. I almost said retarded. I apologize for almost saying something. But so anyway, so I've been a big fan of his forever, and he goes on like podcasts all the time. He has his own podcast, but he was going on Doug Loves Movies for a long time, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah,
and he did, and he would go on as Werner Herzog, and he does this hilarious Herzog impersonation, which literally every time he was on, I would start crying at a certain point because it was so fun. That's how funny he was. So, like, I'm just an admirer of this guy for years, and then he turns up on a show that I'm working on, and it could have gone, because I met Dabney Coleman, and that didn't work out well for me, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Dabney's Dabney, and I respect that, but it's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hang out with Dabney Coleman. Yeah. But this guy shows up, Paul F. Tompkins, and he is... defines delightful. You know what I mean? It's like, and like, I didn't even know.
I love that as a critical quotation for a film. Just be like, defines delightful. This picture defines delightful.
And I, like, he's so funny, and he, but also, like, he's not one of these comedians who demands attention. He's funny, he'll say his funny thing. But then he really loves listening to other people and just laughs.
What a quality.
And it's just like just being in the room with him and having him respond and laugh.
Yeah.
And it just, it like had an aura of goodness.
That's great.
And positivity about him. And it's like, I just want to hang out with this guy all day. It's got to be exhausting for Paul F. Tompkins because I'm not the only person to have had that. So a lot of people must want to just, what are you doing later?
Well, like, it's you like bring a up a drug. Good point. You can argue empathy and or just even more basic skill is just listening.
Yeah.
Like, listening has, I don't want to make such a sweeping generalization, say like, oh, it's outdated or become out of style, but in my daily experience, just going to work and doing, you know, what I do, people don't listen. People aren't curious anymore.
No, that's
like,
true.
And that's one thing that I can say that for whatever reason, I have not lost at all. Like, I'm super curious about people, you know? I really am interested. And like you said, you were like, things aren't great all the time or whatever, so you're a fan of negativity or criticism or whatever. Like, so am I, because I don't do posts like, you know, oh man, you know, the incredible or the anniversary posts that are just like 15 years of bliss. Now look, I'm happily married, but I'm not a fucking idiot. You know, it's hard. It's challenging, you know? It's not 15 years of bliss, of just pure bliss.
That's a t-shirt. I'm happily married, but I'm not a fucking idiot.
No, but it's true, you know what I'm saying? And I know that it's Facebook or it's Instagram, so you're painting your picture that you want. I've just never been a fan of hyperbole when it comes to life is a simple joy. Because it's just fucking not.
No, it's just certainly not.
You know.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I agree. It's a fucking mess. And
if we're
to be honest, so we've been friends for a long time.
We have. We've been friends, legitimately friends, let's say, because we didn't know each other for shit in college, but we've known each other since college.
And we live in the same fucking general area. And we don't see each other enough.
No.
And that's not a criticism of either of us. That's just how life works.
Yeah.
But when we hang out together, what does it take, would you say, like 5 to 10 minutes before we're talking again like we always talked?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. There's like not, a, I mean, it's not there's maybe long. Like a, hey, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then a few seconds, it's like we're ourselves again.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say.
And that's like, to me, that's what friendship is. Because I have friends back east, you know, who I don't talk to for years.
Yeah.
And we get together and it's like, oh, what's this going to be like for like 2 minutes? And it's more extreme, obviously, than what we might go through when we see each other again. Because we see each other regularly enough.
Yeah.
But, like, when you don't see somebody for years and it takes 5 minutes to fall back into that rhythm that you had, and you remember old parts of yourself.
You know what I think it is? Is I think that, and I don't think it has anything to do with how often you see someone or the region of the country that or world that you live in. I think it's that some people you connect with, both parties don't care about being liked by that person. And I mean that in a positive way. Like, I don't
It's weird.
It's not important to me that you like what I say.
Right.
That like, if my opinion of Black Klansmen or my opinion of Boogie Nights or whatever, I'm perfectly comfortable with you absolutely disagreeing.
I have not seen Black Klansmen.
No, I know. I
just went for the audience.
No.
Don't think I'm a racist. I have no opinion about Black Klansmen.
I
enjoy
Black Klansmen. What I'm saying is that, like, with certain people, you don't get the permission, or you don't give yourself the permission to just say or do or be.
Yeah,
whatever,
that's true. You know? And I mean, I think that's what friendship is. It's people are always railing right now, especially against American political correctness, which I've always taken as just a way to be polite and respectful of people. But I also understand why people are aggravated by the tension of not being able to say what they want to say. I don't think you and I, when we get together, I think we're honest with each other and we yell at each other about movies and all that stuff. But we never say anything that's like technically politically incorrect. Maybe it's dicey. Maybe it's pushing the envelope, but it's not like racist or bigoted on any level. So that's an interesting thing, though. That's all I'm saying. I think like a lot of what people have right now, especially in the conservative realm of things, is feeling like they can't go out and talk to a friend in the most open and honest manner without being criticized. Now, if you're a racist, you should be fucking criticized, but nobody wants to be called out. I mean, I get called out all the time. I say dumb shit.
Yeah.
My wife says no.
You used to say a ton of dumb shit.
I still say dumb shit.
Do you?
All the time.
I thought that you were like, because you seem to police yourself pretty well these days.
Like, well, no, I don't. But like, if I go back and look at like old shows I did in the 90s, late 90s, early aughts, even like 5 years ago. Even 5 years ago, but people are getting fucking thrown under the bus for that.
Right.
James Gunn lost a job because of old trauma era, and people don't even know what trauma is, and they don't understand why a dude who came up like professionally in an outfit like that might be saying the most offensive things
people
possible.
People don't know what trauma is, come on.
Lots of people don't, obviously.
It seems more accessible now than it was even then.
No, but James Gunn got fired because of a trauma sensibility in his old tweets. And he also he was already apologetic about his old tweets, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
So if a lot of the old film pig stuff had been, on Twitter, I would be in trouble for it now. Not now, but if I got famous and I got wealthy, I would be in trouble for it.
Yeah.
I made, I like to think of them as homosexual panic, as opposed to pure homophobia, but that's not okay either. There were those jokes. There were body shaming jokes in film pig shows, like back when we were doing stage stuff in the late 90s.
No, I know, 90s. Dude. Racist stuff.
We had a sketch called the.
I have the equivalent of
the Joy Luck Fight Club.
Yes, I know.
And we didn't hire any Asian actors to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was as racist as it came. I still think it's weirdly funny, but it would have been perfectly okay if we'd just not done it ourselves as white people.
Right.
You know? And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And so the James Gunn stuff is aggravating to me because he seems like a really good guy who came up in trauma. And I think we understand that.
Yeah.
And I think anybody worth their salt in the movie industry understands what trauma is, understands what these low-level... understands what Golden Globus was, understands this stuff, but a lot of other people don't.
Yeah.
And trauma is, by definition, racist, homophobic, misogynistic first and foremost. Everything in their movies is offensive. Yeah. That was the whole point of the movies.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the studio.
Yeah.
Is we're not beholden to any corporate bullshit, so we're going to be as offensive as possible to separate ourselves from that. And is that good or bad? I don't know. I don't know if trauma's good, but all I know is James Gunn came up there.
Yeah.
And he came up in a place where he was told that was good. And when he went out and tried to make something of himself, he was pushing all these buttons thinking that's what entertainers do.
Yeah.
And he's regretful, as he should be, about it. Because the jokes aren't good, you know? But trauma, and the weird thing about trauma is the jokes aren't good. They're not good. They're just offensive and awful.
Yeah.
Poltergeist is an hour and 30 minutes of nothing but awful. But that's also why I can only do that because I'm a white, straight male and enjoy something that is that horrible. My wife makes me shut it off just because of the diarrhea sequences. It's not the racism, the homophobia, the misogyny. What makes her upset is the diarrhea jokes.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's fun to watch what people will tolerate and what they won't.
Yeah, it is. It is fascinating. Question.
Sure.
Getting off of the topic of, I want to stay away from politics. I just don't feel like...
We can't stay away. But yes, let's talk about fun stuff.
No, it's not fun stuff. You can go deep without talking about current politics. The current
Absolutely, yeah, you know? Sure. But I know.
I
was just like, there's been political correctness gone back and forth for the last 20 years.
Yeah,
you know, it's come to a head because of social media. But all I was saying is that's what trauma was.
Yes,
and I just feel like, you know, James Gunn is being unfairly treated for saying stupid shit that he's apologetic for.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like he committed crimes. It's like he's being thrown into the same...
No, and I think therein lies the difference.
He's not Kevin Spacey. That's all I'm saying.
No. That he's apologetic for. And there has to be allowed in just the evolution of people... A growth period where, you go through stuff that you say stuff then that you wouldn't say now just because you learn and you become older, wiser, whatever. I just don't want to have to answer a question. In fact, I refuse to answer a question: is trauma good or bad? Because I enjoy trauma. I don't want to have to, and that makes me. Then that opens a can of worms. Then you're a terrible. And it's like, look, I mean, use your heads. Everyone, use your heads.
Right?
Are we good? Do I do good in general in the world, like daily? And it's like the answer is basically yes. You know. And if I like trauma, well, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm, you know, I have flaws and whatever, but I mean, I don't know.
Exactly.
The only reason
I'm
bringing up political is because it's hard for my head not to go back to fucking Trump, you know? Like, it is. Because
I wasn't even talking about Trump.
But I'm saying it's hard for me. It's hard for me not to go back.
I get it. But, we will and we have to. There's no way. If you're having an honest conversation, I hear this a lot on podcasts, and, you know, I don't want to commandeer your podcast and make it about Trump, and I'm not going to.
You could.
But I hear a lot of people say on their podcasts, they don't talk about it. I know, and even when they even brush against it, they'll be like, I don't even want to talk about that. I just need to say this little thing about this, and they don't say any names and blah, 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 blah.
I don't listen to podcasts, so I'm glad to bring that up.
But I follow this woman on Twitter, and her name is Lexi Alexander.
Yeah.
Okay. And she directed Punisher Warzone.
Nice.
She's a martial arts expert and a really great filmmaker. She's a really smart woman, and I don't always agree with what she says, and sometimes what she says scares me and confuses me, and, you know, I'm just going to be honest about that. But at one point she said something about, you know, the Me Too movement and empowering women and all that stuff, and white guys need to, stop being up their own asses and all that stuff. And I was like, I don't respond normally. She didn't respond to me, but somebody else did. And I was just like, you know, I get what you're saying. I just want to know, like, from where I'm at, like, upper working class, lower middle class existence, however you want to define it, white guy, white privilege, not denying that I have white privilege and that's why I get to struggle in the realm I struggle in.
Right.
But, like, what can I do? What else can I do? And somebody said, just as a white dude, just trumpet all this stuff that she's saying. So if you're just backing it up as a white dude, that's you have a huge amount of power in doing that. So I thought about that, and I was like, that makes sense. And I immediately went out and did volunteer work for a woman in my district in Southern California who's running to take the place of the guy in Congress who's a Republican who's been representing my area for the last whatever amount That's of right. years. But and that was it. And then and also just there aren't very many conservatives that follow me anymore, but when I see them post bullshit, I call them out. And it sounds stupid because do you change anything on social media? But what they told me, women of color basically told me, is as a white guy, you have an immense amount of power. Just fucking tell people they're full of shit if you know them to be full of shit. Mm-hmm. So that I've taken that to heart and tried to do that on some level.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think politically that's all we can do. We don't have to feel bad about who we are as long as we're doing that, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any value in just feeling bad about who you are. I don't think that does anything.
No, no.
That doesn't actually, you know, cause any change. But
we can like trauma. That's all I'm saying. I mean, yeah. It's like James Gunn has been a voice for liberalism, and he's been very anti-Trump and very pro a lot of liberal things, and he's come under attack because of these old jokes. And I'm sort of like, well, at some point we all need to see where satire begins and ends.
Yeah.
And who those people and weigh who the individual is. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
I've made them. I've apologized for them. I've moved past them.
I've made them too, yeah. No, absolutely.
But I do find it interesting that James Gunn didn't erase anything.
Yeah.
He left it up, and I'm like, well, why? Does he want to be held accountable for those things? Does he actually think they're actually funny? Like, why? Why wouldn't he go back? Or did he just forget?
No, I'm sure he didn't forget. I don't think there's any... I don't think there's much value in erasing anything because there's proof of it everywhere. So what difference does it make? I mean, to erase it is more quite like pointing to you personally that he deleted it, but we still have it. You know what I mean? Right. I would rather not delete it and say, yeah, no,
yeah,
I did write it. That.
Yeah,
I mean, that's fair. It. You know,
yeah, like, yeah. I shouldn't have written that.
Because we all know who tweeted what, but here's an existential question. Getting away from the specifics of that, and I think about this all the time, but I'm dyed in the wool in terms of my feelings about it. Is competition, in your opinion, good or bad? Well, good or bad. Is it positive or negative? Pro or con? Is it progressive or...
I'm not a fan of it. I don't think that I'm smart enough to know whether it's...
No, but it's not... It's there's no answer to it. It's only your answer. You know, it's for you. Because it's a worldview. It's like... To feel competition as a person, as just an individual... Do you think that's a positive thing or a negative thing?
I guess it depends on how you use it.
Yeah.
I think it was Eric Clapton, who said it's in the way you use it.
I think that was The Color of Money.
It might have been.
I think that was the
which had Paul Newman and Tom Cruise in it.
I know. And Werewolf of London.
In case in case you want to see the best movie that ever was.
Well, it's not the best Scorsese film you've ever seen. It's The Color of Money.
Why is that not the best movie ever made? I love The Color of Money. I'm not like negating that, but when you think about the pedigree involved, how is that just an okay movie?
Because I don't love The Color of Money.
It's not very good.
But it should be. It should be gold. I mean, it's a sequel to the great
Tom Cruise movie, and it's a mediocre Paul Newman film.
Well said. Well positioned.
I tried.
Yeah. Did you? So competition. Competition. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? And you'll hear, I mean, it runs the gamut. You'll hear sports fans say, what? Some people don't even understand the question.
I have heard sports fans say what more times than I can count.
I have said what to sports fans more time than I can count.
I've said what to sports. I flip the channel and there's sports and I go, what? Flip it.
Yeah.
But then if I see a sports film, I will sit.
Yes.
And go,
For me, well, starting the most recently for me, Miracle. Now, recently, that's 15 years ago.
Miracle's good. But my favorite hockey movie, like, it used to be Slapshot.
Yeah.
But then Goon.
The
fucking Goon, man. Have you not seen Goon?
I have not seen it.
Okay. Fuck you. You have not seen Goon.
I have not.
I've gotten in arguments with people on social media about Goon versus Slapshot. And everybody has a point. And people get mad at me because I'm like, Goon is better than Slapshot. It's the best hockey movie ever made. Best hockey movie ever made.
I'm not going to doubt it because I haven't seen it.
Goon 2.
Give me a date. When was this movie made?
Maybe like 6-7 years ago.
And you're saying 7 years ago they made the best hockey movie ever
made. I'm telling you, Goon is the best hockey movie ever made.
How did I miss it? How did I not
I even... don't know because it was Canadian, I guess.
But where was... I mean, where...
You know about the Tragically Hip? Yeah. They're a great band. So, Goon is a great Canadian film.
You know the Bob
film.
Doug McKenzie? Not Canadian.
Not Canadian. It's an American film about Canada. With Canadians, granted. But all I'm saying is, Goon is the best hockey movie ever made.
I love
Slapshot. I love Miracle. Miracle's great. There's other hockey movies
but,
I
but like. But Miracle and Slapshot... They don't...
Very diff.
No, very different. Because, I mean, Miracle is... To call it a hockey movie, great. You can call it a hockey movie. But it's really a biopic or a... You know? I mean,
But so is Goon in a lot of ways.
Is it? Okay.
I mean, maybe it's fiction, but it doesn't matter.
I'll see that immediately.
You know what a goon is in hockey, right?
No.
So a goon in hockey... This is all happening in the... I don't know what minor leagues in hockey are called, but whatever this... The second... level. So what this story the sequel takes place in NHL land, but the original is just like low level Canadian hockey where everybody's just trying to get into the big leagues sort of thing. So this movie Goon is about goons or guys who are just on the hockey team to go out on the ice and get into a fight.
Yeah.
That's the only reason a goon exists.
They're just monkey wrenches.
Yeah, so Sean William Scott, who, like, I've always been a weird fan of. I didn't like American Pie, but I really like The Rundown.
I can see why you like him. Yeah, he's like, got talent. He's got
he does like the and Dude, Where's My Car?
I can see why.
And Dude, Where's My Car? By the way. Anyone who likes The Hangover needs to watch Dude, Where's My Car if they haven't already, because it's the same fucking movie and it's funnier.
Yeah.
And Hangover ripped off Dude, Where's My Car. It just made it drunk and a little bit more...
Oh, and splashy.
And people were sophisticated and there was more...
It's in Vegas.
But Dude, Where's My Car is genius. It's hilarious. And Sean William Scott is great in it. I'm a fan of that guy.
Yeah.
So he's... But this is his role. This is a career-defining performance.
Well, I'll check it out.
It's so good. It's so funny. Jay Baruchel wrote the film.
Really?
He wrote and directed the second one, which isn't as good, but it's still fun.
Is that right?
I'm surprised. I'm embarrassed and I'm surprised. I've not heard of it, and I will watch it immediately.
Is Canadian magic.
Yeah.
And it really is.
Jay is...
It starts the opening. You'll love it. The opening credit sequence is just a slow mo of a guy his Dude, face shit. Getting pounded.
See, I gotta and, see it. And see, you're tooth, selling me on this thing.
A tooth in slow mo. It's awesome. A tooth flying out of his face and slowly falling towards the ice. The credit sequence is a tooth falling towards ice, hitting ice. Blood splatting over the ice around the tooth.
Stop talking about the movie. I'm going to see it. I'm in. You've completely sold it.
So good.
And Jay and Sean both owe you a big...
Yeah, you know, they really should hire me for Goon 3.
That's phenomenal.
I would do it in a fucking second.
But back to the question, the existential question about competition. Do you experience... I'm going to ask you as a
friend. Can I get more vodka?
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Do you, as a this is like the Boogie Nights commentary with Paul Thomas Anderson and Mark Wahlberg. They keep going back. You hear lighters flicking on and off. They keep going back to the bar, and Wahlberg's got to catch a flight, so he keeps bugging Paul, like, "Dude, I gotta go."
Well, it's better than the vacation commentary where Chevy Chase
I don't
keeps
wanna,
going.
I'm everybody so funny in this.
Everybody, shut up. This is a good bit.
This is a Oh, that's like, that's well, classic. That's dude. Classic. I know. Ugh.
But dude.
All right. Competition. Do you experience in your life like frustration in I'm better than that guy, or that guy's so good, it's upsetting to me. Or, and the same thing could be said for social media, where it's like, okay, so so-and-so posts a picture, and it's like, oh man, you know, this person's like, do you experience these things? These are all competitive vibes or whatever. Or are you free from this experience?
I'm not free from it entirely, but it was way worse when I was younger.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still an asshole, and I'm still egocentric and all those things, but I feel like in a lot of ways I've stepped aside from my ego, like I did peyote or LSD, even though I never did.
Yeah.
I've been able to step away, and I'm empathetic enough that I've at least been able to discern those feelings on a certain level and know when they're justified and when they aren't. And when it comes to people who are better than me, when I'm like, when I see that, I'm like, oh, there's no way I could have done that. There's no way I could have done that. And I totally love that. Or sometimes I'll go, I could have done that. I would have done it differently, but I love the way he did it. You know, like a lot of times when I see Michael Shannon, who I would never get cast in roles like Michael Shannon.
No, but I could see a strong similarity to
him. Right. And I totally relate. Like, I feel like I get this guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
And I can't... Maybe I can't do what he can do, but he also can't quite do what I can do. But I think I... Like, when I see a lot of his roles, they're inspiring because I'm like, Take Shelter is such a good movie, and he's so good in that. I'm like... Oh, here's what I would have done with that. Oh, it's not that it would have been better, but it would have been different. But I love what he did, and I never, you know...
Yeah.
It's different when I see somebody... Like, sometimes I see somebody, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is all you came up with for this? You know? Like, I saw The Spy Who Dumped Me, and everybody who wasn't Kate McKinnon in that movie, I was like, really? This is the best you had. This is all you had.
Mm.
It was so disappointing.
Yeah. So you don't have any insecurities in your own ability?
Oh, no.
Or do you?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
No, okay, I'm asking. Like,
I have deep insecurities in my own
ability. Do you really?
Yeah, way wild. Yeah. I mean, I realize more about my limitations every day that goes by than I do my awesomeness.
Potential.
My potential. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can do this. I mean, if anything, it's like honing in on what I'm good at,
which
I don't think I know what it is, and I don't think anybody else does.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I don't have a place. I don't have a home, and I bounce around.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is any more than anybody else does. But I honestly, like so often people are like, well, if you know what you are, I'm like... Yeah, I've read enough and learned enough about people who do what I do to know that that is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
You can know what you are or not know what you are. It doesn't fucking matter. People see what they want to see.
Yeah.
And so often when I'm acting, like, I'm like, what? I don't even know why you see me in this role, but I'm coming in and I'm doing what I do, and then I find it.
Yeah.
Through direction and... just input from other sources, like, you know, I don't necessarily know, like, I'll be like, okay, I think this is what this is. I don't know why they hired me to do this. I think this is what this is. I'm going to do my best. And I come in and make my choices, and maybe some of them work, some of them don't. But getting direction and just, like, hearing things from other actors changes everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to prepare myself as much as I can.
Yeah.
But I don't walk into it thinking, I'm so prepared, I'm right.
Yeah.
No matter what. Because basically everything I do adjusts to the situation.
Yeah.
Because there's energy you get from other actors. And, like, sometimes you get last minute rewrites. And there's weird things that you don't know are going to come into place. And,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like there's so many elements.
Yeah, yeah, for
sure. You have to be open to change, but I try to know my stuff as much as I can. But in the end, most of that is I just know my lines as best I can.
And yeah.
I understand what they are emotionally, and then I can adjust what I prepared to what the vision is for it, because it's not mine.
Yeah. So, back to competition, you are... if nothing else, you're prolific. You do... well, this is my podcast, which I'm very, very proud of.
Good for you.
But you're here tonight, and I appreciate that. So you're on the circuit. You're doing your job there.
What's the name of the show?
I call it the Tom... well, it's called the Tomcast if you're looking it up on, you know, on your local dial.
Yeah. Your local dial.
That's from, like, American Graffiti.
People still have dials.
but you also do a podcast. I guess it's a podcast with Jason Rohr, watching terrible films. You're still active with the Film Pigs. You are active on social media as just a personality and opinionist and all that stuff. You are a working actor, both commercially and in television and film. When it comes to your own work, your own writing, your podcast, the stuff that you do that was your creation, what is your reaction to viewership? Let me the most basic. When you post something on Facebook, regardless of what it is, okay, you know, do you have a feeling one way or another? And be as honest as you can. Whether people give a shit or not, whether they like it or don't like it, or whether your podcast they listen or don't listen. Like, do you have a dog in the race? Do you have an emotional reaction? Whether it people are watching or listening or you know.
Yeah, sure.
You do.
Yeah, but I've learned over so many years, decades doing this, that I have to sort of do stuff for me.
Yeah.
First, and I don't mean that in, like, I'm just jacking off into a camera Kevin Smith style. No disrespect. I respect Kevin Smith, but he's very self-indulgent, and he can be because of luck and timing and all those things. I don't have that, you know, but with the tools I'm given, I have decided to be self-indulgent enough that I just try to put stuff out. Podcasting's no big deal. We're sitting around talking on a microphone.
Yeah.
So to me, that's no big deal. I think to a lot of people it is a big deal because it's weird to sit around. Like, the microphone brings is another character in the room that you have to hassle with.
Right.
And you change. There's no two ways about it. We all change when we're talking on a mic. But I find it fun and exhilarating on a lot of levels, so I'm not that worried about it. And as far as I've never broken 1,000 followers on Twitter or 1,000 people on Facebook, or I don't understand people who get verified on Twitter. I don't understand people who have 50,000 to 1 million to 2 million followers. Like, I don't, that's beyond me. I don't know how that happens.
But what I'm saying, I guess what I'm suggesting, not suggesting, what I'm bringing up is that you could find that out if you wanted to. You know what I mean? You could find out, okay, so how do I mean, there's all kinds of methods and crap out there that, like, you know, if you do these things, then you'll boost your followers and all this stuff. But you, from what I've noticed, like, you're not interested in doing that. And that, I'll say, impresses me.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's cool. But I'm interested in why. Is it that it doesn't occur to you, or that it does occur to you, but you're like, fuck that, or whatever? What is your reason?
The only, well, as far as, like, gaming the system or whatever it is, I don't want to do that. I just want to, if you don't want to follow cool, don't.
Yeah.
If you don't, like, if you, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I don't.
You could argue that, like, if you don't game the system or whatever the appropriate verbiage is for that, then you won't give tens of thousands of people the opportunity to not follow you, because they won't even know you exist. They won't even know you're there.
That's absolutely true. And that's one of those things that I've grappled with, and maybe I should, but for professional reasons, but I've decided not to.
Yeah.
I've decided not to, like, try and get a gazillion followers overnight through some weird means, and they're all robots from Russia or whatever. Fuck it. I'd rather have the less than 1,000 people, some of which fucking hate me.
They do?
Oh, for sure. They think I'm an asshole.
Wait, which guy are you talking, which platform?
Both.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I get in arguments on Facebook more than Twitter, but I get it, you know, on both sides. I got taken down by the right. Ooh.
Really?
They don't care for me. Well, I'm one of the few liberals I know, and I wear this badge. Liberal is not something I would have liked 2 years ago, but now I'm just like, yeah, I'm a fucking liberal. I'm a liberal, and I'm a progressive, and I'm a feminist. And I'm pro LGBTQ, and I'm all those things,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not doing it obviously for money,
because
it is not getting me money. I'm just saying that's.
But I will pay you for your time if you would like.
I would love it.
Okay.
Do you pay for time?
I can.
For on your podcast, I've never been on a podcast where they paid me for my time.
If I gave you a dollar at the end of the night, would that be?
A dollar is fine.
I'll do it.
That's the most money I've made podcasting.
Okay. Then at least then this will be in, like, a real, like, a Titanic moment.
It's a red letter.
I'm going to call it a Titanic moment because we're sinking.
Yeah. Maybe we are. But you know what I'm saying. I'm not, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And it's,
but
not,
do you truly not? I guess that's what I'm saying.
But no, and no.
I love not giving a shit. Like, there's no greater power than not giving a shit for real. Because mm-hmm. that's when you are liberated in the most pure way possible. And it's something I struggle with constantly, and I have my whole life, where it's like, I genuinely don't want to give a shit. But I do.
No.
So
I do.
It's like this struggle,
I do too.
Like, you know.
But my giving a shit is about the people who are engaging with me.
Yeah.
And some of them are opposed to me. Completely, yeah. Diametrically opposed to me.
Yeah.
And I still have conversations with them. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff on the right, the like emotion on the right is we're being left behind and all, you know, liberals drive me nuts because they don't even want to have a conversation. And granted, every time I have a conversation, it ends in me saying, this isn't a conversation. This is you trying to publicly shame me for having a different opinion than you. So we're no longer having a conversation. You're just attacking me and you don't understand the difference, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah.
But I still converse with those people. I still talk to Nazis. And I know they're Nazis, and I'm not forgiving their Nazism. I'm not forgiving their racism, and I'm not trying to normalize it at all. I'm only having these conversations because I want to try to understand on some level where this is coming from. And it's very difficult to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
But it's insecurity. Like racism, cult mentality, bigotry of any kind is just built on fear and insecurity. And I'm fearful and insecure as a person, so I understand why they're that way. And it's easier to be fearful and insecure as a person if you have a tribe that is fearful and insecure in the same way that you are,
mm-hmm.
Versus being fearful and insecure in the way I am.
How would
which
you describe
I feel alone.
Your fearful, your fear and your insecurity? How would you describe that? What does that look like? What is that? Is it?
Do you not see it in me
right now?
No, I mean, do you think I'm not those things? Do I not seem those things? Like that outward appearance?
Well, every human being appears that way to me. And they compensate in a myriad of different ways. I'm asking you to describe yours. I could describe mine to say that, like, I surprisingly, like, have realized that I care way too much about what other people think of me, which I didn't think was a thing in my 20s and whatever, but it's come to my attention that, like, you know what, that's kind of a thing, you know? Yeah. That's a fear and an insecurity. I'm asking you, like, how does it show up for you? Like, what is it, you know?
For me, I'm a people pleaser, for sure. I think that's what you're describing, basically. Yeah. And I want people to like me.
Yeah,
I don't want people to be disappointed in me.
Which is so interesting to me. It's fascinating. Just human beings are complex because you say, like, you know, you want people to like you, and you are openly, outwardly unlikable to, and hear me out, to a huge number of people. Like, you're, you know, and that is interesting and fascinating. There's
but a lot of those people who are supposed to hate me still talk to me.
Yeah.
Because they see me, and when I say a lot of those people, again, just reiterating, less than 1,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
Less than, I don't know what it is on Facebook, but it's around the same numbers.
There's
not a lot of people. So when people hate on me, they're very specific people.
Yeah.
Connected to me in some weird way, and I may not have met them, but there's not a lot of, like, I have a lot of people who follow me in that, like, a percentage of those people, a large percentage, see me on TV, and that's why we're connected.
Yeah.
But it's not like there's throngs of people. So, like, I'm dealing with individuals when those kind of negative things happen. So, I mean, yeah, part of me is, fuck you, I'm this way, fuck you if you... I'm the first person to say Nazi. I will fucking say Nazi.
Yeah, you post.
I think conservatives, modern American conservatives, are Nazis. I think they're all fucking Nazis. I don't believe in Nazi sympathizing. I think if you're a one-issue voter and your one issue is so important to you that you would usher in the rise of modern Nazism in America, then you're a fucking Nazi. That's my fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I have that opinion, it doesn't mean I don't want to be liked by everybody. I want the Nazis, I want every fucking Nazi to go, why would this guy who I like say that shit about me? Oh shit, maybe I'm a Nazi. Because I grew up in a very white town and slowly learned my way, and I am still learning my way out of my own bigotries. Out of my own prejudices.
Yeah.
And they still exist, and I fight against them all the time. It's an inner thing that I do that I think is important for me to do, because I do have white privilege. No, I didn't have slaves. No, I didn't usher in. But it's like, fuck off. If you're a white person and you have white privilege, then you have to grapple with that. And that's what I try to do. And in doing so, I realized that Trump is... I know we weren't going to talk about Trump. I apologize.
No.
But Trump is a fucking white supremacist. He's a fucking Nazi. He's bigoted against everybody who's not a white straight male, including his own fucking goddamn wife and children.
But he isn't like all white straight males either.
But that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, he thinks the white straight males that he doesn't like are still superior to everybody else. Mm-hmm. He absolutely does. And there's no doubt in my mind that this entire, that the entire thing we're dealing with is because this country has never made reparations for the atrocities we've committed against humanity. Slavery, genocide, concentration camps. We've done it all.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not made real we've said, I'm sorry, but we've not made, like, I mean, and I know white supremacy is back on the rise in Germany and blah, 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 blah. But Germany actually made some reparations. Not enough, but they made them. We haven't made any outside of Indian casinos, which was not a reparation. It was just inviting organized crime into government money. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
But like a good reparation to start would be removing the Electoral College from our election process. You remove that, then you make it about the people, you make it about the majority of the people, and then we're dealing with real reparations. And then people of color, then their votes will matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's a, I guess that's all I'm saying about the Facebook thing, and that I will continue to say that to people who disagree with me.
Yeah.
In the hopes that, I know they won't, and it's just going to be frustrating, but, you know, I want them to like me.
Mm-hmm.
I want every Nazi to like me.
So, building on likes, and liking people, and or liking ideas, or liking pictures, or liking memes, or liking, what is, and this will be my final question for you, on Facebook specifically, or Instagram. I'm not a Twitter person, so those are the only two I know. When you're on Facebook and you're going through your feed, however often you go through it, and this is an objective question, and I almost want to make a documentary about it, like the science of a like, or the psychology of a like, or the whatever. It's like, what? Because we've changed as people. Like, if Facebook happened 20 years ago, then all the people that you know, you would like what they do. Just because, like, you know, your site, they're your friends.
Yeah.
Facebook is not your friends, okay? Like, it's turned into, like what I said before, a competition. It is a competition for, is that picture good enough, or is that idea good enough, or is that funny enough?
But that's the American way.
Okay, but I'm asking you. I'm not asking America. I'm asking you.
America.
But you have your own personal feed that is Todd Robert Anderson, and I'm asking you, as you go through, you like this, you don't like that, or you pass this by, or you acknowledge that in your head, but you don't.
what is, how do you navigate and make decisions on social media? For you, and answer honestly, because his expression, you can't see it, but his expression looks almost defensive or something, but there's no, you shouldn't be defensive. I'm asking, it is objective.
But you make it sound like there's some sort of, I don't have a, like, plan.
Yeah.
I don't have...
I'm not accusing. I'm asking, like, what do people...
I think so much of what you like or what you don't like is simply presented to you in your feed. I mean, my likes are genuine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like something I don't like if I don't like it.
Yeah.
In certain cases, if you look at certain feeds... you know, like commentary feeds.
Yeah.
Where I'm arguing with right wingers, I might like what they say at the very end, but that's mostly so I don't have to keep talking to them.
Yeah.
I can let this debate go because we've gone round and round enough.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I like what you like because I got in an argument with a couple, basically a conservative couple, about. I don't even remember what it was. It doesn't matter what it was about. But it was basically about crime. It was about ICE versus, you know, and they were like, why are you liberals so against us rounding up actual criminals? And it's like, well, I don't know that they're actual criminals. I don't trust ICE. You don't trust ICE. That's crazy. And I'm like, well... okay. And they're like, if somebody does the crime, they should do the time. And then I said, awesome. Okay. That's a fair statement. I agree with you. You must be super happy about the guilty pleas and indictments that are coming down from the Mueller investigation. Congrats.
Yeah.
And that made them even angrier at me. And then it was like a long, and it's like, and like the way they back themselves up, the word, there's so many words. It's so many words to get through.
Well, it's too many words to type.
It's too many.
During the day, I don't have time to type that.
Well,
much.
But they're doing it. It's like these massive arguments about why I'm wrong as a liberal and why they're right as conservatives, even though all the evidence points in the other direction, and all their stuff is conspiracy shit that they've heard on Fox. I mean, it's like I've heard it. Yeah. I pay attention to what Fox says, so they're just regurgitating what they heard versus having an actual critical thought. And I just argue with them trying to, like, spark a critical thought. But it always comes back the same way. You cannot win with these people. It's a cult.
Hmm.
It's a cult. And as far as Facebook... I mean, that's... Facebook likes and Twitter likes and Instagram likes, that's why we're here. That's why we're in this place we are. Because this is an unprecedented amount of... platform for people who have never had voices before to have voices.
Mm-hmm.
And people of color terrify people who are white in America when they start talking this much. And now they have a platform that doesn't require our justice system as it exists to vilify somebody. We can get somebody fired without a proper legal, you know, procedure.
Yeah.
Which is what we deserve. It is what the American legislative system deserves because it has failed too many people for too long. But the blowback now is, I'm white, I'm vilified. It's like, but this is when you as a white person can say, you know what? These people are right. They're absolutely right. White is a fucking shitty color right now. We have to fix that. You can't fix that by doubling down on racism. You can't fix it that way. So my popularity on Facebook has nothing to do with my political opinions, is my point. Like, I have that. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but the core of the question was just what as you're scrolling through your feed, what gets you to like something? And I'm just asking you to analyze, like, for me, going through it, it's like, and it's fascinating because it's changed so much, you know? Like, I think I joined Facebook in 2012, like, right around Fuzz Track City time, because it was time to, like, that was a platform. It was something that you could reach people or whatever. And so right. I started it then. And at that time, it was so, I remember it, too. It was like, it was so novel. I remember the first time ever taking a picture of myself walking with Henson, and he was little and in the backpack. Because I didn't really understand. That was a brand new concept to me. That, like, oh, I'm walking down the street with my fucking kid. So I took a picture, because I'd seen millions of other people do it. So I do it, and then, like, it was like 17 likes or something over the course of maybe an hour.
Because it was a cute picture.
Well, 17 likes is pitiful, but regardless of that, it's like, I'm just saying that, like, well, no, but what I'm saying is that, like, it was like this rush. It was this, you know, just an adrenaline dump, because it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I took a picture and people liked it. And back to my whole thing of competition, it's like, I despise it. I think it's fucking toxic as shit. Sure. And look, some people just, like, they take to it like, you know, pigs to shit, and they're fine with it, and they have a healthy attitude, you know, supposedly. But the reason I was asking you that is because my, cut to 2018, my, I don't even know what my, what's the word I'm looking for? A simple word. Criteria is for what I like anymore. I look through, I see my friends.
What do you like?
Well, but it changes. I mean, it's daily. It's emotional. It's like,
I think, know. I like what's on my feed when I look. I mean, you know, you're not like, I don't sit and stare at my feed. I check it like once or twice a day.
Right, but I mean,
so I just see it, I scroll through it, but it also picks who I see. Right. So I don't see everything.
Yeah.
And because they get in a lot of arguments with a lot of conservatives, I have a lot of fucking conservative shit in my feed. I don't like any
right,
of it.
Right, yeah.
And then when I see, like, my friend's got a new puppy, I'm like, oh, cute puppy, I like that. But most of the shit in my feed now is bile, and it's...
See, okay, so I'm saying that my mind has changed as I've gone through, and it's like, it's twisted my own thinking, where, like, I'll see that cute puppy, and I'll be like, ah, you know, everyone's liking this, you know, like, and that person, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it fucks with your head, and or my head.
I see what you're saying, but I mean, I think if there's a picture of a puppy that you like, you should like it.
Well, puppies, yeah.
It doesn't matter how many people like it.
I'm mean, more but, getting but, at the concept.
You know, no, but, like, if you see something that's liked by a lot of people, and I know what you're saying, I mean, I'm more like that than you are, where if it's establishment, it irritates me. But one thing that Facebook, and just, you know, being in Los Angeles, I guess, has taught me is that it's okay to just like stuff. You don't have to make a thing out of it.
What does that mean, making a thing out of it?
Well, you're making it about a competition. But that's not what it is. If you really think about it, if you really look at the algorithms, if you're not getting enough likes on your thing, like, people go nuts about getting liked or not liked. So the sitch is this. If you like something and you want to shout it out, like, why overthink it? I like that puppy. I like it. I'm going to like that puppy photo. I'm going to like that kitty photo. Who fucking cares if 1,000 people like it or 10,000 people like
it? Well, I'm not saying I don't do that. I'm saying that it has changed people's psychology. I believe that. In terms of just that... talking about puppies and stuff obscures the issue. I think that, like, people don't like uniformly their friends and or families all the time, like, without question, just because it's become the how good is that post, or how, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That is weird. I didn't bring the competition to it. I think the it created itself.
in that, like, is that funny? Even though it's my best friend or whatever, it's not that funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense? That I'm not going to like it because it's not that great a joke or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, and you don't have to.
Yeah, that's just weird to me.
Well, it's weird, but I don't think that that's new. I mean, maybe it's amplified by social media, but that's just
the popularity
contest of life.
Yes.
I mean, if you're in showbiz, you know that the whole fucking thing is just a popularity contest.
Right, but showbiz is competition.
Showbiz is an extension of junior high school popularity contest. That's all it fucking is. And that's all social media. But Facebook
calls them your friends. So that's what, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but like so many words have lost their meaning.
Right.
I don't think the word friend has or friendship, but I don't think about that word or what it really means when I think about Facebook.
Yeah.
Those are their corporate terms. And have they changed people's perception of what those terms really mean? Yeah, but that happens all the time. Words change meaning, so we find new words to mean the same things. You know, so we call each other brothers and sisters more often than we did before, probably.
Maybe.
Like, certainly more so than since the 60s.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I still like the word friend. I know Facebook has bastardized it, and that makes sense. But that's, anyone who understands friendship knows there's no such thing as Facebook friendship. Facebook is just, like the telephone, is a way to get in touch with friends you haven't talked to in a long time.
Yeah. Do you think that we were meant to keep in touch with, you know, just under 1,000 people? Let's say 120 of those are from high school or something. Do you think we were meant to emotionally, like, deal with that shit or not? I mean,
I don't know what we were meant to do.
I mean, do you feel stress from it that you are in touch with far more people by, you know, an exponential amount?
No.
You don't. Doesn't.
No, I've dealt with like being on TV. I'm not trying to trumpet my horn or be a braggart, but being on TV, I've gotten multiple versions of people who, of fans, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is what you call them. And I've gotten negative type stalkers and all that stuff. But for the most part, I would say when people reach out and they send a note, and it doesn't make me popular, but it makes me feel good when a person I've never met before says, "Oh, I saw you on this, and that was really awesome, and then I read this that you wrote or whatever. It made me think this and that and the other thing." And I'm always like, holy shit. I mean, it's amazing. Just, I mean, this is what I was saying to my kid the other day. Just say hello to everybody
mm-hmm.
you walk by. Just say hello. And some, maybe the majority of them even won't acknowledge that you said hello. But other people will.
Mm-hmm.
And other people might even, like, have a conversation with you. In a good way, you know. You gotta be wary of creeps, I realize, when you're a kid. But that kind of shit, like the other day, like arbitrarily, some guy just reached out to me, and he's like, "I'm a chronic pain sufferer." Like, he was talking about an acting job I had, and he was also like, "And I read some of your blog, and you're a chronic pain sufferer, so am I." And so, you know, we had a nice exchange on that level.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I'm saying is, for me, like, social media comes down to those connections And it's not about numbers or likes or whatever. It's just every now and then, in whatever realm, somebody will say something that will make me feel like, oh, goddamn, humans are not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. It happens to me almost daily. And it's super easy. You know me. It's super easy for me to concentrate on the negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like those positive things just... So, like, imagine that. You don't... You just reach out to some arbitrary character actor,
mm-hmm.
you know, online, who you don't know.
I've done it.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah. I've done it too. And it means a lot to the person that you do it for.
Yeah.
And I think it might mean a lot to the... It means a lot to me when I get a response.
Yeah.
And I don't require one at all, but it means a lot when you get a... Even just a, thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any kind of response means a lot. So, I don't know. It enhances communication on a personal level as much as it does on this public crazy level.
Yeah.
That everybody criticizes. There are positive elements. And the truth is this is unprecedented. We all have a platform now.
Yeah. I was... intending to just talk about your personal criteria. That's all. I wasn't talking about it globally at all. I was just talking about how
my
you
likes,
process
that I mean, stuff. Like, I honestly, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I just like this stuff. And if... But it's specific. Like, there's stuff that you've probably posted that I've missed.
Oh yeah. Feed, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about
no.
I'm talking about
no. We
I
are talking about you and how many times I've liked your stuff.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about what we're talking about.
We could do the math, I guess, if we looked into it.
But I feel like I don't see enough of your stuff. I mean, when I do, I like it.
Yeah.
See pictures of you and your kid, like you. The last few, I saw a series of them where you were watching this Star Wars movie or this, any, like you were breaking cherries, movie cherries, right? That's what those...
Oh, showing him movies.
Yeah, we're watching this movie for the first time, and there were great pictures of the movie starting and the kids like smiling.
Yeah.
I liked all of those.
Yeah, but that's not what I was at. I was not talking about...
What the fuck are you asking?
I was getting at... Well, I was trying to draw an arc to the competition thing that I do feel like social media has created a competition in our heads, psychologically, with what we didn't expect necessarily from friends, family, people that we know before, you know? Because sure. it's in rapid succession, and there's the numbers are far higher of the people. We weren't in touch with this many people before. It would have been a dinner date, and we're with the Andersons and in you know, so and so, and we talk whatever, and we don't necessarily like listen to like, oh yeah, I didn't like what he said. It wasn't that funny or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Now it's just like it's a factory of the people we know. And I'm curious, I was asking you what you like, because I found in my own experience that it messes with my psychology a little bit, because sometimes I'm in the mood like, oh man, too many pictures of fucking Amsterdam, you know, that's annoying to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It changes the way you think about your friends. You're fucking, you know, without even being in contact with them for real. That's what I mean.
But you can... I see what you're saying. I guess I've learned to empathize. Like, because I found that annoying, but I found that annoying a ways back. And I learned to empathize with everybody's desire. Because I'm an actor. You know what I mean? And even as a writer, director, producer guy, you want to be seen.
Yeah.
You want your work to be seen, if not your own personal visage
right.
to be seen. And acting requires my own personal visage, but I want to be seen. But I think everybody, on some level, wants to be seen.
Right.
They want to...
I agree. I totally agree.
So, I mean, I think that's all that is. So, I get more upset by people who... not to be political again, but people who post things just to upset people on the other side of the political spectrum as them. And I think, in general, I empathize with everybody who just... I mean, even the people who like to make spiteful bullshit conspiracy theory posts, it's not that they want us to believe all these things they're posting. It's just they want us to see that they are posting them. They want us to validate them as being alive and having a voice. And that's sort of what's both cool and horrible about social media and why we're in so much strife.
Yeah.
Because everybody's working it out.
Yeah.
We're all still working out, like, why do I give a fuck about likes? Why do I give a fuck about people not liking it or giving me shit?
Yeah.
Or giving me, like, why do we care? And it's because we all want to be liked. I mean, we all want to be seen and liked for what we are. But
there is a great book that I just started reading called The Courage. It has nothing to do with Facebook or social media, but it happens to be called The Courage to Be Disliked. And it has to do with the philosophies of this guy Adler, who was one of the three with Socrates or whatever. He was like a dude. And I strongly recommend it because it's just this conversation, and it's kind of goofy, the actual like interchange, but the shit in the book is really, really good. It's between this older philosopher and this young kid who's probably 22 or something. It's very good.
I recommend it. What's it called?
It's called The Courage to Be Disliked. And the basic principle, there's a lot of really, I found the stuff really powerful and stuff, but the basic principle is true freedom is to be disliked, because and not because you're doing things that are you know,
awful
but bad, but when you're not a slave to wanting to please people is when you're truly free. And it's the only way to truly be free is that you have... It's not even not to... a fear to be disliked. It's just to be... Like, if you are... if you have no vested interest in being liked, then you're free.
Yeah. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's a slippery slope. It depends on who you're surrounded by, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna not want people to like me. And I'm not gonna apologize for that. And it's cool if you dislike me for the fact that I don't want to be disliked. I get that. But I don't know. I think that that boils it down to kind of, it's too black and white.
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing a great job of conveying this message. I would say that you do plenty to be disliked.
I do my best.
And so I wouldn't worry. I don't think you have to worry about, you know, you don't, your online persona is not one that is as a people pleaser. It's not that.
I'm not a people pleaser, I guess.
Well, you said you were. I mean, maybe you are.
I want to be liked by people, but I don't want to be liked by people without being myself.
Yeah.
I guess that's the truth.
That's important.
And I think right now it's super important to just be honest about... I get saying you don't want to be political, but right now I think it's so important to just say it on social media all the time. That you, if you are,
for what reason though? What result do you want to have as a result of doing that?
The truth is more white people are saying that white people, there's too many Nazis in this country. The more white people who say that regularly on Facebook, the more change will come. I know it sounds stupid. I know it's... Because, you know, I do my part. I donate. I volunteer time to politicians that I think matter. But all I'm saying is, if we're not just on social media... And I know everybody shames everybody else, like... Well, you're being political, but are you really doing anything about it? Fuck you. That's not where... This is Facebook. Mm-hmm. This is not where people do shit about shit. This is where we complain about shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are not complaining about the monstrosities that we are living amongst,
mm-hmm.
which is half of our voting population, which sadly is only about 30% of our actual population, is so white supremacist. This is the time that you come out and say that, regardless of who it offends.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that's your duty as a person with white privilege.
To complain about it?
To complain about it. To say it. To say it. To say it to everybody on your feed.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a racist time, a bigoted time, and we've put a bigot in office. And if you're not saying that all the time, and I understand people who don't. I mean, I get it. The same way I get a fucking FICOR actor. I get it. You need work, so you will undercut the union to get, which is your right according to Republican fucking legislation.
Mm-hmm.
That undermine unions. It is absolutely your right to do that. But in doing so, you undercut yourself, you undercut everybody around you, and you probably undercut a lot of your friends. So, if I am to just go, a lot of my friends are fine. I've gotten a lot of blowback for saying shit about FICOR actors. A lot of blowback. From people I love. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's true. I'm sorry if I upset you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is the case. Every time you do non-union work, you're fucking every other actor in the union who's just trying to do union work. That's what you're doing. You're getting less money for yourself, and then you're getting less money for everybody else
mm-hmm.
by making this choice. And I totally understand it. I understand being a conservative. I understand being... You know, religious. You're religious and you have beliefs, and these things are horrible. So you have to vote for this awfulness to make these things. No, you don't. So if we aren't saying that, if we aren't speaking reason to people who are unreasonable, even though they're not going to accept it, even though they're not going to change, if we're not all shouting that out them, then we're failing. Especially you and me, white dudes. We have to shout that. It doesn't matter how it feels. It doesn't matter how pointless it feels. It doesn't matter how horrible it feels to lose friends and family members who won't talk to you again because you have a political belief which is anti-Nazi, which is anti-white supremacy, which is anti-bigotry. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you do it. And if you don't, then you've failed people
at large. So then most of the people that you know are failures, in your mind, by that rationale, then?
Politically, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think most of the people who don't stand up, and I know a lot of them and I love them. I mean, it's not that I don't love them. It's not that I don't... It's not that I think they're bad people. They're just failing. I mean, my understanding of dictatorships in history, most of it comes from apathy. Most mm-hmm. of it comes from people not doing anything about it. So we all have to.
Well, it's a tough thing. It's a difficult way to end this podcast, because you are saying in no uncertain terms that I'm failing. And so...
I wasn't saying that about you, that you're saying that
about
you.
But I'm not screaming for the rooftops on social media that the world is, that the country is full of Nazis.
I feel like you say a lot of anti-Trump things. Do you not?
I did. I tend not to go political on... I mean, you're basically saying, though, there's one way to operate. And if you don't operate that way, then you're failing. And that is to scream that there's too many Nazis in America.
Sure.
And so I'm not saying
that. I'm going to go ahead and stand by that.
Yeah. And so I'm not doing that. And so it's a tough way to end it, but that's them, how do you like them apples, you know? That's it. That's what it is.
I don't know what to tell you.
I am failing in your eyes. And that's...
I'm already failing and I have failed. I mean, I'm not taking a position of superiority here. I'm telling you what I've learned. Mm-hmm. By listening to women and people of color and, mm-hmm. and people in the LGBTQ community, I'm telling you what I've learned from them. And what I've learned is I'm not a bad person, nor are you. We're not bad people.
No, I'm confident with that.
We're white and we're male, and that puts us in a position of power, even though it doesn't feel that way to us. Necessarily, because we're middle class, working class, whatever we are, it doesn't feel that way to us. But it's the truth. Like when I asked, and it made so much sense to me when I asked these people, like, what is it that I need to do as a white male? And I don't feel empowered. I'm not financially empowered, you know. But I know that there's a white privilege. So how do I use that? And they said, simply by being vocal on social media. Just fucking say it.
Mm-hmm.
The more white dudes, and white women too, but the more white people, but especially white dudes, who say these things, the more it matters. And it's not even about canvassing neighborhoods or going on marches or all that. It's just about starting to... And it's my belief, and I don't know how you can refute this, but a lot of people are like, well, why be political on social media? Social media is politics. That's where politics are.
Sure, I don't deny that.
So if you are not railing against...
It's also
publicly,
social, though. I mean, you got to understand that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Puppies aren't political, but...
Yeah, absolutely. Politics. And when things like indictments come down and Cohen guilty pleas come down and all that stuff that comes mm-hmm. down, what happens is conservatives generally for a few hours after those things happen do nothing but post their puppies, you know. But once that fucking runs out, then they start posting new things about how Hillary's a monster, even though we're not dealing with Hillary Clinton anymore. We're dealing with what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
But and I'm not saying you have to, and you don't, but...
Well, I know I don't, but I'm... Yeah, I...
But I suggest that you should.
Okay, fair enough.
You should get more political. I've seen you on marches. You go to marches.
We go to all the marches. Yeah,
yeah, you go to the marches. So just put it on social media. It matters.
Well, we do. We do put it on social media. I just don't think that there's one way to do it. I don't think that if I didn't post about too many Nazis in America today, then I should feel a sense of failure. I just don't.
No, I'm not asking you to.
Okay.
That's what I hold myself to.
Yeah.
I want to say something every day. I want to make a phone call every day to some political office. I want to do something every day, like throw a dollar to something. That's all, because I think that we really are on the precipice. We're on the precipice of a situation that is untenable and will end in not, I don't think civil war, it will end in world war.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm, you know, too hyperbolic. Maybe I'm too reactionary. I don't know. But all I know is my understanding of history is we are on the precipice. The window's open. It's open right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally maybe a year, maybe two, but probably less. I think probably November is when it matters. So if we're not all screaming, every single one of us who thinks that what is happening right now is wrong, mm-hmm. who thinks white supremacy is wrong, who thinks the Trump administration is wrong. I had all kinds of criticisms about the Obama presidency. There was a lot of shit that happened that they did that I didn't like. But that's beside the point. I think it's everybody needs to grow the fuck up and realize that what we have in our country is a cancer. And that cancer should be just referred to as Nazism. But you can choose your white supremacy, apartheid, whatever you want to call it. It's a cancer. It's Nazism. If everybody isn't shouting about it, who knows that that is true,
mm-hmm.
then that is a problem.
It's a problem because everyone is not going to be shouting about it.
Right.
That's the only thing.
I can ask you is to shout about it. I had this conversation with a friend. I had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. He's like, "What are you going to do? Trump is our president." And I'm like, "If you don't get out there and start fucking shouting about that every day, then you're being apathetic. Then you're being one of the people." It was Desmond Tutu, right, who said, "Those who choose to be silent in times of injustice, of great injustice,
mm-hmm.
choose the side of the oppressor."
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds stupid because it's Facebook and Twitter, but guess what?
No, it doesn't sound stupid.
Guess what? This presidency was won on social media. End of fucking story.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to talk about the Russian interference, you want to talk about the propaganda of the right and Fox News and all that, it was won on social media. So if we're not all yelling on social media,
mm-hmm.
then we're part of the problem.
Can you give me one more of those?
All right. Are you going to wrap the show up?
I'm going to transition into...
Are you hitting the kid again?
All right. Thanks for listening to the Tomcast. We started light, ended heavy.